It's Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning. I'm Steve Inskeep. Renee Montaigne is on assignment this week, and in the studios this week is NPR's Ari Shapiro. Welcome back, Ari.
Thanks. Morning, Steve. We're going to report this morning on how the government of Haiti is responding to this month's earthquake. In many ways, the government has been invisible. And while that may be understandable amid the destruction, it has left many Haitians with no faith in their leaders.
In fact, some Haitians are suggesting they would like to see a change, NPR's Tamara Keith reports.
The funeral for the beloved Catholic Archbishop of Port-au-Prince attracted hundreds of Haitians, some who dressed up as best they could. The president, René Préval, was there. He has made very few public appearances since the quake and did not speak at the funeral. As Préval left, protesters chased after his motorcade. Danny Dado was one of them.
Préval is not doing anything for us. We need help now, and he's not doing anything.
She would like to see the former president, Jean-Bertrand Aristide, return to guide Haiti out of this crisis. Aristide has been in exile in South Africa since 2004, when opposition groups seized control of the government. He's offered to come back, and Dado says that's what the people want.
I'd like for Préval to take care of the country, but the country doesn't want him. They'd rather have Aristide to come and help him out, because Aristide would do a better job.
Haiti's political history has been marked by violent coups and charges of inept or corrupt leadership. Then came the earthquake almost 2 weeks ago today. It struck at the heart of the government. The Haitian equivalent of the White House was destroyed, along with other major government offices. Préval talked about his government's struggles in a statement broadcast a few days ago on the radio.
The big consequence is the government has been paralyzed because the National Palace collapsed. The Palace of Justice collapsed. The Parliament building collapsed. All the communication was down.
This was only the president's second official statement to the people since the quake. The first came a full 24 hours after disaster struck his country. Mario Vio is the general manager of radio station Signal FM. He says the president needed to be out there reassuring the public sooner. He says people simply aren't feeling the presence of the government.
He's not talking much, so we don't feel that much. But they have a good excuse on this because they had been hit everywhere.
Government officials are meeting daily with the various international agencies now working in the country. And there's a daily press briefing.
Okay, we've saluted all the journalists here.
We greet all the journalists here.
Haiti's communications minister, Marie-Laurence Jocelyn Lesegue, sits at a folding table under a lush tree on the grounds of the makeshift government headquarters at a Port-au-Prince police station. At some point, someone comes up and pins a paper sign to the tree. It says press.
We are trying to address this issue as well at the level of the province.
A few minutes into the press conference, virtually all of the 20 or so reporters there scramble over to an SUV. It turns out they were all Brazilian, and a dignitary from Brazil was visiting. Lesegue doesn't seem to have much control over her own press conference. We ask if the government is organizing the relief efforts.
The government wants to organize everything, but, you know, still now, some NGO, they go there, and they do the things the way they want to.
She says the NGOs are doing as they please here, and that's certainly what it looks like. But Lesegue insists these groups must listen to the government.
They have to do it the way we want things to do. Thank you.
Are they?
Thank you.
Are they?
They have to do it.
There's only so much the government can do now. As President Préval put it, the earthquake made everyone feel disoriented. We all became refugees. Tamara Keith, NPR News, Port-au-Prince.
And now we're going to hear more about the Nigerian man who's accused of trying to blow up an airplane on Christmas Day.
We'll examine one phase in the life of Umar Farouk Abdulmutallab. Long before he boarded a plane with explosives, he spent 3 years as a student in London. What we've learned about his time there offers clues about how and when he might have become radicalized.
An NPR News investigation has identified some of the people he met in London's large Muslim community. British and U.S. intelligence authorities believe Abdulmutallab knew two other men with links to terror plots. NPR's Dina Temple-Raston reports.